Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On this point, who gives a crap how Viscera obsesses them?
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show. SmackDown.
It is the 25th of November, the year of our Lord, 1999. Somewhere in the world, lucky kids were playing Donkey Kong 64. Those lucky kids were hopefully not watching The Sixth Sense, which was still number one for the second week in a row in the UK box office. And Robbie Williams's She's the One / It's Only Us was number one on the charts. World Party had made the song a year ago, and Robbie Williams covered it a year later, and then gave no credit and claimed for years that he had written it.
Whoops! I thought it was a Robbie Williams song.
Exactly. This culminating a telephone outburst from the song's actual writer, Wallinger, to Chambers, stating, "Your effing friend Robbie Williams, tell him from me he's a C." Williams never publicly acknowledged that She's the One is a cover of a World Party track until 20 years later, in the 2019 advert for the Christmas present, when he's doing the Alexa thing, the device substitute asks him, "Did you write She's the One?" To which Robbie goes, "No, I didn't." Took him 20 years to admit, actually, was a cover.
By which point, there's no point even admitting it.
But that was 20 years later. 20 years earlier, there was a little show called SmackDown, a little network called UPN. What happened on that show? What is the fallout from Survivor Series 99? That was last week. The fallout from the fallout. That's right. What Chernobyl was left in SmackDown. Is SmackDown still in the air? Is Test still a joke?
Oh.
The answer to these questions and more can only be found right now on the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown Review, starring yourself, Mafu, and his colleague who makes him look so good every week, Mr. Tom Campbell. How are you doing, pal?
The man that Tom Colihue calls probably the funniest man in wrestling media. Thank you, Tom Colihue.
I've never liked you, Tom
Colihue. Daily DDT and Sports Key Director.
Oh, that guy.
Thank you, Tom Colihue. Take that to the bank. I'm great, mate. How the devil are you?
It's been lovely. I'm very sorry for being late, by the way. I'll also get this off. I got on the bus and I walked into a bad comedy sketch because a few stops along the run, and this sums up Ben well, the area where I live. Bus gets on the bus.
Bus gets on the bus.
Someone gets on the bus.
That in itself is a comedy sketch.
Oh, just you wait.
Busception.
There's no point making fun of it because what reality is too dumb.
Okay.
She gets on and I can't hear what she's saying, but she used to have a long conversation with a bus driver about something. They go back and forth, It's like an NXT UK main event. It just goes on forever. And then eventually she gets on. The point where, excuse me, everyone's looking around going, what's going on? What? Why aren't we moving? The next bus will be along. After legit 5 minutes, which on a bus is tantamount to an hour,
yeah,
she gets off two stops later.
Oh, you're kidding.
Could have walked it in less time it took her to argue a point. But I am here in living colour, and I can't wait to go through a lovely SmackDown with you, because not only do we have SmackDown to go through, I have the bits from Jericho's second book.
Oh, he's brought a tone with him
this
week.
Not the first book, because obviously that's the build-up to going to WWF. This is where he gets there.
So we're excited to dig into that a little bit. So
certainly, but
if this is the first time, I think we should. I'll say this is the first time listening. This is where myself and Matthew Gregg, there he is there. There's his face. We are chronologically critiquing, thank you OSW Review, every single episode of SmackDown from the very beginning to its bitter end or my death, which comes sooner. And every single week we like to take you back to the year that was, the time that was, the day that was, via the power of the WWE Network and Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer newsletter. So just to give you an idea of where we are on this date in the year of our Lord, what was the date again in the year of our Lord?
25th, 11th, 99.
25th of November, 1 month until Christmas 1999, the last Christmas of the century coming up. Literally the opposite of a nice Christmas present for the WWF as a whole.
Beautiful segue.
As a whole phalanx of sponsors have ditched the company. This is the beginning of L. Brent Bozell's march against the WWF through the Parents Television Council. He's just assumed control of the PTC, and his public enemy number one is the World Wrestling Federation. So he has encouraged sponsors of the WWF to pull out of sponsorship and have nothing to do with them. This includes Coca-Cola, the US Army, the US Air Force, M&M Mars, and AT&T. Some real heavyweight advertisers now not spending with WWF, which is such a shocking development. It causes Vince McMahon to do something pretty unprecedented. So normally when stuff like this happens, if a sponsor ditches the company or something, they'll make fun of them on air. And Vince McMahon's quite a petty man. He'll find some way to laugh about it. This is a big deal. Vince McMahon goes talks to the Wall Street Journal a few days after this episode of SmackDown and announces that the WWF is toning down its product. Vince says, you'll see less aggression, less colourful language, less sexuality. Some of the more controversial characters may or may not appear on a regular basis on SmackDown. So a toned down SmackDown.
Just to clarify, that was said before the SmackDown then?
That was said just before. Okay. But obviously the wheels were in motion at this point. To create a more toned down SmackDown.
Okay, remember that soundbite as we go through this episode.
I will remind you throughout toned down SmackDown. Uh-huh. Austin's Packard, 34-year-old Steve Williams.
Back up, of course he is.
Yeah, 34 at this point. I can't get over that. 34-year-old Steve Williams is undergoing spinal operation very shortly that may save his career. No date set, but he's being looked after by Dr. Henry Bauman of the Cleveland University Hospital and is going in to remove bone spurs on his C4 vertebra. The bone spur, which is putting pressure on his spine, is causing back pain, also causing twitching and jumping of his feet while sitting still. Austin is in a bad way. Surgery is very similar to an operation that Bauman did on Carl Ripken Jr., the baseball star. And that surgery was so successful, Carl Ripken, at time of writing, is set to return to baseball for the next season. So there's high hopes that after a long bit of R&R, we will get Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the ring again. But it's a tough end of century for Steve Austin.
I wonder where that goes then, because I thought he did the Youngblood treatment that Kurt Angle would do, where it's like, we'll just shave a bit of it.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the impression, and he did it, Edge did it, Rhino did it.
I was under the impression that the Youngblood treatment only keeps you out of action for like 3 to 4 months, whereas this is going to take Austin out of action for almost a year.
I think it's before that then, because
he may have had
gone back to Youngblood Society later on.
Yeah, he's had something like that already, the Youngblood less evasive treatment, or he'll probably have some more, because even after this, he'll still have neck problems. That it won't completely cure it altogether. Mick Foley is also Packard. He's also 34 at this point. I feel like I've underachieved. Mick Foley winding down his career as a result of a lot of injuries that he sustained over his time. There was talk this past week about a retirement announcement. And at one point, there were plans to make one on the 22nd of November episode of Raw, the one that's just gone. However, Steve Austin being uncertain, they've now ditched that. And it looks like they may even be making an announcement about Foley's retirement next week. So even though they are lacking in star power, Mick Foley is kind of going, look, I can't carry on. Enough's enough. So Mick Foley, a time of writing, could be wrapping up as well. Foley said he'd be done as a regular character, but would return maybe a year or two later. Might come back for the odd big match. Maybe. And we said goodbye to a legend this week as well in wrestling. The passing away of Hiro Matsuda. Passed away from colon cancer, which had spread to kidneys, liver, and stomach. And he died the day after this episode of SmackDown at his home in Tampa at 62 years old. Hiro Matsuda, the first Japanese wrestler to win a National Wrestling Alliance singles title when he won the junior heavyweight title from Danny Hodge in 1964. Had some legendary challenges for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. An hour-long draw with Lou Thesz that very same year in December in Jacksonville, Florida, is one of those that is remembered. You have memories of Hiro Matsuda?
No, more of his training. I believe it was Hiro who trained Luger and Hogan.
Yes, that was it. There was it was Hiro Matsuda that I believe that stretched Hogan so badly that he nearly didn't bother coming back. Like, he broke his leg, didn't he?
That's the famous one.
That's the Hoganified story.
Yeah, but a bunch of people do have those training stories where they'll apparently go, all right, get in the wrestling position, you know, when it's like yoga, like doing crouching cat. And then they go, all right, cool. And they give you like a knee drop to the back knee, their back leg or whatever, and you just can't walk afterwards to test you, because, you know. But apparently Luger's thing was he would make you do like 500 push-ups, 500 squats, 500, and then you'd start training. You're like, what?
That is the training, surely.
All right, well, what do I want now? I want to sit down on a fag, mate. Like, what do we want? Let's do wrestling. It's like, how is going? Can we skip ahead to wrestling and just go with the strippers and the cocaine? Like, what? But anyway, I digress. Good guy, Hiro.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, as you say, like his reputation precedes him as a
yeah, because it wasn't Twitter back then. So, of course, all these old folks were just like, we only knew his accomplishments. Like, they made real men back then. I'm like, yeah. Let's keep the memory alone, shall we?
WCW still pressing on. ECW has just had the return of the Sandman. He's been away for a bit and he's just come back. They drew their biggest house for a TNN taping, I think, ever this week.
Accomplishment.
WCW is literally just still kicking on. One funny thing that I noticed from the Observer was there were plans this week to have on Nitro Evan Courageous versus Perry Saturn for the Cruiserweight Championship, until somebody realized about an hour before, Perry's not a Cruiserweight. But does that not say anything about the big man mentality in a company like WCW, where Perry Saturn is considered a cruiserweight?
Perry was a very proud wrestler. I'm sure he was thrilled with that. But this is also during the time he said he reasons he wanted to leave at the end of the year was because of having to deal with Kevin Sullivan, who was a notorious S-stirrer back then, who takes absolutely no acceptance of his faults. But still, you know.
Absolutely not.
But anyway, I could see them doing that backstage to him just to mess with him.
Just to wind him up.
Hey, guess who's won the Cruiserweight title? I don't know, with Jamie Noble? You! What?
Because you're so small.
I'm 250.
You are small. Look at Nash. He's big. You, Perry, are small. Vanilla midget.
Like, all
get
right.
away. Uh-huh. Get away with you. I wonder what a few other assorted vanilla midgets end up doing.
Good joke there, Sullivan. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. Hello, Vince.
You can only come if you bring your friends. Saz Pez.
Oh, sorry. I mean, Benoit, maybe they'll do something with you. We don't know. But anyway.
We'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of that to come from. Yeah. But right now, we're the here and now. Are we ready to go?
We're ready to go with Friday Night SmackDown, baby.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving night.
Was it Friday night? It's Thursday.
Thursday. It was a Thanksgiving SmackDown special.
No Survivor Series.
No.
Oh, but loads of pilgrims.
Oh, plenty of bloody pilgrims.
So we start off with I can only describe it as amazing recap of Monday Night Raw. Last week we had lots of segments with DX and McMahon, well, specifically Vince McMahon and his assorted family, also in small bracket, test. This is all Vince. This is insanity. Vince McMahon drives his car into the DX limo, then attacks the DX locker room door with an axe. I'm not sure if it counts as the DX's, it's more the arenas. But anyway, a door that belonged to DX at one point with an axe. The police arrive and arrest him. Triple H then pounds him a bit while cuffed and nothing's done about that. Police take him to the slammer and Triple H on Raw announces that he was the one who pressed charges. Yeah. Police.
Dun, dun,
dun. Oh, no, what a revelation. Police let Vince McMahon out of his cell, but tell him, don't go to the arena.
And Vince says, I won't go to the arena. In the same way in the 80s, he went, I won't take all your talent.
I'll definitely pay you, Stampede Wrestling's too hard. So Vince goes to the arena and sends Triple H off the entrance ramp and into a plethora of tables and stuff. Okay. The car for Vince McMahon's push only has room for fifth gear right now. because Mankind's paggard, Austin's paggard. We've done this. We discussed this last week. We could have discussed this. There's no one there.
So we've had to drop back to stopgap white hot babyface, the 50-year-old Vince McMahon.
He's got a better spine than two of the former world champions this year.
Which is incredible.
All right. We start with SmackDown with Billy Gunn and the rest of DX talking, but Billy Gunn stands out because he goes, wow, man, seen the amazing recap somewhere, even though the backstage. I'm like, wow, just hold.
Pretend you've seen it.
Like, wow. Triple H, I mean, how far did you fall? Was it 20 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet? It was 10, Billy. 10. What kind of goddamn company would it be if that entrance ramp was 40 feet off the friggin' air as people came out?
Are we resting in the Tokyo Dome, are we?
What happened with Ted? He just fell off the entrance ramp and broke every bone in his face again.
He disappeared into obscurity.
What the hell kind of reader is that? Anyway, Triple H promises the worst Thanksgiving ever for Vince. Okay, then we get the entrance. In the ring, Jim Ross introduces the 7 foot, or 17 foot if you ask Billy Gunn, WWF champion, The Big Show. Big Show comes out and bigs up his dad.
And, he bigs up his dad.
And
it's like such white meat baby face, like milk toast baby face stuff from Big Show, who is such an imposing figure, but he's so crap at this point.
Yeah, I like being the champion. I want to thanks for all the support, everybody. Oh, I miss my dad.
Like, there's nothing. Like, it's like there's no beast. There's no beast in this beast's body. And it frustrates
me. Well said. There's no beast.
Yeah.
It's all beauty.
It's all beauty, no beast.
Yeah. So he tries to talk. No one cares. His dad's still dead. And evil heel Jericho interrupts Big Show's face promo.
To a
loud pop. Boy, that push is going well, isn't it? So Jericho promises to be Big Show's daddy to another big pop. He isn't happy with Big Show's champion because he's 7 foot and think that's all he need to become champion around here. So he demands a no-holds-barred match with him right now. Big Show promises to be a fighting champion. Show has no issues with slapping around like the bitch that he is. And the word bitch gets a pop, but Big Show doesn't. So Big Show destroys him for a bit until a missile dropkick kind of scrapes Big Show's head, messes up his hair. Well done, Jericho. And here's Big Boss Man to distract. And Show hates him so much he wanders outside to pass the entrance ramp, the gigantic entrance ramp, with the spotlight literally and figuratively going from him to China and Miss Kitty making their entrance.
Oh.
Apparently China did not press charges against Jericho last week. Instead, she hits him with a hammer twice in the head, Blue Demon Jr. style. So then Big Show wanders back in after killing Big Boss Man and slams Jericho to retain. Hard-fought victories like this will surely win over the fans, won't they, Tom?
This was a shame. I got quite excited seeing, oh, it's Jericho and Big Show in a title match. I'm cool with this. Okay, there's a couple of things that I remember from this. Is China hitting him with a flipping hammer. Like,
twice.
Right. It looked crap but painful. Like, just like a little mini hammer comes out and it just looks like she with the hard end of the hammer, yeah, just cracks him in the skull. Right. And here's the thing in this new toned down SmackDown world, right? We all used to play fight wrestling in the playground. We did, right? I dread to think if anybody went, oh, I'll be China, you be Jericho, smacks kid in head with a hammer in the skull. It was the fact that it was such a, like, they're a bit more reserved with stuff like this in 2020, in the sense that I think if someone had done that clunk on the head, they'd have been out for weeks. But this might as well have just been like a low blow or a distraction.
Right.
Like, it was like everything was so much of a muchness. Like, this may as well have just been China poking him in the eyes for all the good it did.
Yeah,
like,
Roddy Piper eye poke is replaced with two shots to the head with a hammer.
Because he was still, like, reeling from it, so he was still conscious. And then Big Show gets back in the ring, and you can see him trying to fight out of the chokeslam even then. Like, you've been brained with a hammer. How is this still a thing? But I felt sad that, one, this was Jericho's first dalliance with the championship, and probably last for a while. And also that once again, despite the way that this show goes, your WWF champion is such an afterthought. He is in the opening segment of the night.
Well, he can't overshadow Vince McMahon, the young up-and-comer.
Heaven forbid that your heavyweight... Do you know what? And I was thinking about this, how the storyline has gone in terms of, obviously, Austin was going and they wanted to replace Austin with somebody, and we mooted Test, Big Show, Kane. You might as well have put the belt on Vince.
Again.
You might as well have done. If this was the direction you were going in, like, at least put the championship on blast somewhere. You might as well have put the belt on Vince.
No.
Or kept it on Triple H.
No.
And had Vince challenge for it. You might as well have done.
Because no,
it's
no.
It's so lost in the shuffle here.
God, no, Tom. I couldn't disagree with you harder. Those are two separate things. There's a two separate... Yeah, Vince, I'm glad Vince didn't put the effing title on him again. That'd be a horrible idea. The title should not be used for things like that. Okay, I am trying to defend the Big Show's world title reign, mm-hmm. so I'm going to move on. But no. Having said that, something by only doing SmackDown, because it's a cool brand, because we're representing it, we have missed out a match. That was Big Show versus Jericho on Raw of this year.
Ah.
It's one of the first instances of Jericho getting reamed. It needs to be seen to be believed. I think I gifted ages ago on Twitter, but if you want to go on the network, go look at Big Show versus Jericho. Jericho at one point tries to put on, I think it's like a cross arm breaker or a Fujiwara arm bar, and it's like a kid trying to put together a train set. Because Big Show has no idea what he's doing. Jericho, I think, panics and goes, can I even hit this on him?
Oh.
You know, it looks like Lilliput at this point. So Big Show has to be like, ah, oh, I'm in so much pain. I left a bit, right a bit. Oh, what am I going to do? Right, no, hold that and put that there. Right. It is amazing. So at least it's not as bad as that. Anyway, Vince McMahon tries to enter the arena after the show has long since started. Worse than Jack the Jobber. But Triple H has a 50-foot temporary order of protection, so he can't touch him. Wacky lawyer storylines still exist in WWE to this day. But they always feel, as Jack put it one time, like Jay Adeltman from BoJack Horseman wrote it. Yeah. Like, it's my company. No, but I went to Lawyer Man and there's an order restriction. You hit me in the head when I was in handcuffs. Lawyer Man has spoken.
I feel like the lawyer in this particular instant, and most cases, they always look just scruffy. Like they've gone to dial a lawyer. And it's a guy who's just got this old suit that he's had since the 90s and he's put it back on.
Yeah, right off the rack.
Yeah, that's it. He just looks scruffy. But this is your guy delivering you. And I don't know, like they always seem deeply uncharismatic. I'm not saying that you want them to eat the scenery, but have a little life and a little belief in what they're saying.
Hi, I'm Jerry Lawyer.
You know. Puppies!
Yeah. Me and my puppies are serving you this temporary...
A restraining order from all the women. So Vince can't go near Triple H. And they continue this backstage where Gerald Briscoe, old man Briscoe, just walks up and goes... What's a temporary order of suspension, Mr. McMahon? A grown man.
What does that mean?
What's a temporary order of protection, suspension? What does that mean?
We should get the sheriff.
Mama named me sheriff.
Well, quick, the ex are coming. We'll head them off with the pious.
Sheriff Briscoe.
Mark Mayan. Sorry. Anyway, don't worry. If you think that was stupid and pointless and offensive, oh boy, strap yourself in, ladies and gentlemen, because SmackDown's going to do better. Mae Young and the Fabulous Moolah are dressed as pilgrims and a turkey, and they're here as announced guests, which is a bit odd. They usually do this if it was a Hiro Matsuda. One of them, the old one, was champion just last week, so I guess that's over. Maybe for the best.
Yeah, let's move. We're moving on from that. Whilst just before they introduce them, we find out tonight that the New Age Outlaws are defending their tag team titles. Vince McMahon announced this after Briscoe goes, "What's the temporary order, Barbara?"
After Briscoe says,
"No, Abigail."
After Briscoe says,
"But
can you still book the show? And McMahon goes, yeah.
Yeah, I can. From a distance.
Go tell them what I'm telling you. Okay.
Yeah, so Vince books a tag team steel cage match for the titles. New Age Outlaws was the hardest. And he books Triple H and X-Pac versus...
Who?
Shane McMahon.
Oh, that's good.
And Test.
Oh, that's bad.
Test's getting a run out. Test is getting a run out.
If you've been paying attention to the show, this show by now, try and guess at home. The interactivity me and Tom got you. Guess who's getting pinned in that match? Go on, have a guess.
Will it be part-time son of the owner, Shane McMahon, or potential future star, let we can't hurt Test? Decide later on.
And as Daryl Briscoe travels via wagon to tell DX that, we get Kurt Angle making the second SmackDown appearance. Hooray! Crowd hates him literally 2 seconds into his three-eye speech. You love to see it. He's taking on D'Lo Brown to no pop, and Cole decides to use D'Lo Brown's entrance while there's a gap in the silence in the crowd to talk about the evil PTC.
He reads a prepared script from Vince McMahon.
No, it was all off the cuff. And how you, the viewer, should decide what you should and shouldn't watch and let them know what you want. I hope good nature... Oh, sorry, that's me editorializing. So, yeah, they give a telephone number to this Navy dude who obviously did a lot of research on, and just says on the network, there's no number. We've sent it, don't ring him.
It's a number and it's an address.
An address, yeah.
For you to send letters to.
And they're turning this from the issue which PTC had, which was Yemen violent stuff towards kids, to censorship and free speech. And they're two different arguments, mm-hmm. clearly. But by moving the goalposts around makes it easier to fight them. But I hope good-natured people contacted the Navy dude and told them, hey, I'm 10, and I want severed women's heads to play with. Suck it.
And also, like, why are we bothering the Navy?
Aren't they busy
defending the country? Like, how's your day been? Well, it's been really busy. The postman's been... And we'd love to get out to save, you know, just to investigate that ship just off the coast of the North Sea. But we've got all these letters from 13-year-old teenagers telling us to suck it for not sponsoring SmackDown.
Head of the US Navy wakes up. There's 38 messages in his answer machine. It's like, oh, Christ, we're at war. Gets it. And it's all guys going, is Yokozuna joining the Hart Foundation in WCW? Ha ha!
Do you know what this is? Do you know what this is? This is the equivalent of when you get sent a tweet from somebody and you quote retweet it. That's the equivalent.
They're Cornette snitch taggers.
Yeah.
Boring chance for Angle's great wrestling. Good old 99.
Oh, God. He hasn't used a hammer yet. Boo!
It's been hard to go back to like Catch's Catch Can when China and her jugs have knocked out Jericho.
China and her jokes.
Good God almighty. There's a lot of bouncing around. Yes. D'Lo Brown does his D'Lo moves, and then, doesn't matter, Angle shrugs him off and finishes with the unnamed finishing move to end it.
The Olympic-style slam. I've heard it mooted on some shows. That Olympic-style slam that he does.
Wait, was it intended to be, like, in the Olympic? Wait, because no...
Well, it was called the Olympic slam, wasn't
it? Yeah, but I think just because he's, you know, gold medal slam or whatever, because... I mean, I'd love to see the Olympics that bust it out.
However, bust out a pile driver.
You would have gone better with the Olympic slam.
No, I think in the Olympics, they call it the pro wrestling slam.
The fake slam.
The sports entertainment slam. No, it was...
The suck it Navy dude slam.
But no, because I think JR called it, when he hit it at Survivor Series, JR went, oh, that Olympic-style slam. But we can't trust JR to name moves these days. I think he called it a leg drop.
The Asian-y move. Anyway, doesn't matter about Angle's lack of pop, whatever, because Mae Young is drunk and bothering Yay! Lawler.
Mae Young's drinking out of a little gin flask a la Rick.
And it's weird that Lawler... is being bugged by an older person of the opposite sex. I mean, a bit of ironic punishment there. And is also piles of Thanksgiving food being led out by pilgrims because USA, USA. And we segue to Mankind and Al Snow backstage saying nothing really.
There was some cute little subtle comedy in here. Like Al Snow, Al Snow was like, oh, I hate The Rock. And Mankind's like, hey, no, I like The Rock. So I like The Rock because when I'm out with him, I get better reactions than I do with you. And Al Snow just kind of goes, yeah, I suppose. And then Mick says, hey, look, don't worry about it. Maybe like I'll speak to The Rock. Maybe all three of us can hang out. And Al Snow goes, really? To which Mick goes, probably not, but I'll ask him. Like Mick Foley is just digging on Al Snow. Because this whole thing, this whole feud they've had, is that Al Snow was always the butt of Mick Foley's jokes anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that Mick Foley hasn't just dropped that altogether and is still like every chance he gets digging into the elbows of Al Snow a little bit, which yeah. I quite like.
Well, I missed all of that, so I must have gone to the toilet during this bit. And I do apologise. Thank you for saving me
it
there,
was
Tom,
uber
because
subtle.
That's very important to what we're going to get with the storyline.
And Al Snow constantly saying, I hate The Rock. Yeah. It's also very important.
And that's something, we'll get to that feud later on, but like, that is a lovely dynamic because have I been there? But I've known friends who have been there where it's like, if me and you hang out, we have our relationship.
Yeah.
But if me and you and someone else hangs out who is less on our level,
the dichotomy changes.
Exactly. And it's all right if, you know, you're the guy giving it. If you're the guy taking it and you're with like, I don't know, if you're with someone else and you just take the mic out of me. But if I'm with the other person, you wouldn't make fun of me. But because the other person's there. Yeah.
The banter changes.
Yeah. Got a bit deep there. Anyway,
I like it.
Back to taking the piss. And DX and Triple H decide to be more thankful and walk off with a plan.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Great. There's like 19 DX segments on the show.
So. Oh, yeah, that's good. I was worried how they were going to, what angle we were going at with the 90,000 DX bits we were going to see.
Yeah, please be sat down for the rest of this podcast. fall over the excitement.
But please be upstanding for this next match.
Okay, I've actually written down everything he says here. And this is, what is this? This is the extreme episode of SmackDown, isn't it, Tom?
This is SmackDown Tone Down.
Oh, beg your pardon.
Hey, all our sponsors are leaving, so we need to start changing our shtick.
That's right. Here's Val Venus. Today is every... God, that's not the voice, is it? That's not the... You know something.
That sounds like Matthew doing an impression of Matthew.
Yeah, really. Really, Matthew? Don't even try this time. Today is every guy's favourite holiday. We get to go out and look for that one bird. Spread its legs. Stuff it. And watch it get all juicy. Cuts to like women the crowd going, woo! And then all the girlfriends and wives get to suck all the meat off of our drumsticks. The number for the PTC is 0800-888-GOOD4KIDS.
That's what the problem is. Calvin is basically saying, when I go home later, I'm going to have sex with a woman.
Yeah.
If he was a bit more blunt like that, would it be as funny? I'm Val Venus, and later, I'm going to have sex with a woman. Mic down. You'd be able to fit in more DX segments that way. At least another two.
Hey, cheer if you like cock.
Yay!
Me too. Let's be friends.
Who likes mint? Vince comes out.
I do!
What a show. What a show.
It just is those... Vagina. That's it. Just drops the mic, walks away.
Talking of strained meat.
Oh.
His opponent!
Hide your drugs. Here comes Bulldog.
Oh. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Who looks like he's aged about 23 years in a week.
He chose poorly at the end of Indiana Jones.
He looks... he doesn't look well here.
He looks like... He'll play Mortal Kombat 4. There's a secret character called Meat. He was no skin. It's a spitting image of Bulldog right now.
He looks like just before he came out, he had a long lie down, eating a pepperami on a sunbed.
The guy came out, he fell asleep, so the guy came to check on him. He couldn't tell which is which. Bulldogs?
Yes. They're back. He has this look on his face, and I notice it more and more every week. He has this look on his face akin to the look that you accidentally have on your face when you walk home and your housemate has got friends visiting that you don't like. The look that you kind of sort of suppress when you see them go, hi, how you doing? Yeah. Bulldog's got that look permanently. Like he's somewhere he doesn't want to be, surrounded by people he doesn't like.
Like Sam Jackson and Django.
Yeah, yes. That's the look he permanently has. Like, he doesn't want to be anywhere.
He has the face of someone that says, you better not take the piss out of me 20 years later on your effing podcast. Anyway, these two teamed up on Raw to lose to Too Cool. So, a bit of issues here. Bulldog gets DQ'd. After dropping him on his bollocks, bit confusing there, on the turnbuckle, after Venus made him take a flat back bump off a spine buster. So obviously he couldn't take that. So I had to...
I ain't doing anything else. Bang. Blatant low blow. Was it a blatant low blow, or was it just he bounced off the buck? Because the referee was gesturing to the Bulldog, saying, like, you hit a low blow. And then you see Bulldog, like, tapping the inner thigh, as if to go, no, I hit him on the inner thigh. Didn't hit his balls.
Bit of a weird one here, but I think Bulldog's incapable of giving a low blow at this point. So yeah, Venus had to go up on all the hard work from
running power slam, and then Bulldog. There is something about Bulldog every week that I crease looking at.
I know, right? It brings up the worst in us.
It really does. Like, yeah, this match happened, lost by DQ, walks back up the ramp without his belt. Like, he cares so little for that goddamn title.
Yeah, you're right.
He left it, walked back up, and then they announce Val Venus the winner by DQ. And then as Val Venus' music hits, he goes like, hello, ladies. Bulldog just starts flexing. As Val's music's playing on the big screen, you just see Bulldog looking at his muscles and flexing. And then he walks back, doesn't turn around, doesn't make eye contact with anybody, just buggers off. Job done. I'm going to have a lie down and some ibuprofen.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
DX outside. Yeah, great. They're reminding the view of Rochester, New York. Crowd cheers. DX, it sucks. Cross didn't say anything. I think some bits of the show were artificially helped. Just saying.
Surely not.
And, they see some homeless people outside and mock them. But then decide to feed them because it's Thanksgiving.
Is it here? Okay. Is it here where Triple H comes out with a zinger, or is it in the next bit?
It's in the next bit. I'm going to bring it up. Don't worry. It's all going to be the segue.
I like seeing Triple H harassing homeless people. I feel like if he did this in 2020, he'd be in a suit and tie offering them NXT tickets.
Those poor guys. Yeah. And they go, which one is it? NXT or NXT UK? They go, NXT UK. They go, no, I'm all right.
Quite like Primate. Shut up.
He's not on the show. Shut up. Kane is here, and he's brought to you by WrestleMania 2000 of the N64. Ha ha ha. WWF Volume 4 in the chart still.
Yes.
And Western Union. Okay.
Sending cash. Sending dirty, dirty cash to other people.
And it's good that, you know, they haven't lost their main sponsor of WWF products. Loud asshole chance for his opponent, Big Boss Man, who's still hardcore champion. So it's going to be a hardcore title match.
I wondered at this point when I was younger watching this, were there rankings for these belts? Because it feels very random who gets a shot at what.
Well,
Holly had a title shot last week, a WWF championship match last week. Like, I think the match we just had with Val Venus was for the European title just now.
Who knows?
And now Kane's the one contender for the hardcore title. I remember when I was younger, I did sit down and do top five rankings for each belt around this time. Just because I wanted a little bit of order to the chaos.
Well, right now the matches are still the side order to what's happening outside of things, as we'll see anyway. So yes. I don't think that's that important. Later on it would change and slow down a bit in 2000. I think I remember that. They'll be completely wrong, won't it, when we get to it? We immediately go out in the crowd. Kane does the big clothesline off the barricade in the crowd, and the commentators completely no-sell it to talk about gravy. Anyway, Big Boss Man gets his fingers smushed in various doors, and the crowd are like, yay, Kane is near us. And then backstage, Tori is seen watching the show, which is nice of her, get those ratings up. And Viscera is still stalking her, and he really wants her. And this is something they would show in social studies across the places of representations of black people in media in America, because they're showing this big black guy wanting her, and he's cool, can't kick her hands off her. Mm. And then Lawless yells, he wants her and guts to have her, which is incredibly awkward, because those who don't know this much about these things, and I don't know why I do. Oh, yeah, I've got a media degree. That's like a horrible way of doing a really bad, stereotypical, very, very old, like, black accent. I say black, I mean African-American, whatever. And, yeah, like, adding the plurals is...
Yeah.
Because I can't talks. So it's worrying that they've got this big black guy stalking this white woman, and apparently he's just crazed, and he's the plurals is... Okay, Viscera, who's now gone from... He's been organized to have a rival hoe agency to... Ooh. Anyway.
What's happened to his rival hoe agency? I'm concerned, like... He set this company up a few weeks ago. Surely he'll have to file like taxes for the year, unless he's shut the limited company down immediately.
No, he invested all that money.
His page
invested all that money that he got off the newspapers for declaring him dead. Got that nice healthy sum, and then he invested in it. And he's like, "Great, I'll just advertise on WWF." And he goes, "No, the Navy said that we can't." And he's like, "No, I'm bankrupt." And he went insane.
So there was a fire mysteriously.
He went insane.
And all the skanky hose burned.
Yeah, he saw like the skanky hose is gone. Went meant like a Batman villain, and then just saw Tori was like, "Well, looky here, according to Lawler." Anyway, moving on. I don't think we're going any good places here. Tori runs away, manages to, you know, he gets the jacket and probably a good sniff of it off camera, and then they're backstage. Kane, Big Boss Man. So Tori manages to bump into him because apparently it's only a small arena, and this distraction, you know, Kane going, "Where's your jacket?" allows Albert to twat Kane and Bossman to get the pin, and then Vis gets scared off. Nothing much here, apart from the... Yeah. There's reasons why some people are like have issues with things like this.
We're keeping Bossman strong as well.
Oh, lost in all this. I think maybe there's like, look, have Vis reduce some... That's a bit... So everyone will ignore the fact that Bossman just pinned Kane, because we need Bossman to get a push. Kane has to do something.
But here's the thing as well.
But we don't want to push Bossman too much. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Here's the thing. Big Show, earlier on today, was fighting with Bossman out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
Bossman has returned back to the ring for his match perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another example of just killing the Big Show's heat. Like, I would have, like, Big Show should have really decked him. Like, put him through a cupboard. And it's like, Bossman's out and he's fine. Big Show's nowhere to be found to get any revenge. It just seems...
That flak jacket, Tom.
Yeah.
Worth its weight in gold. Worth its weight in dog poo, however, is DX.
Hey!
Talking to more bums. Great. Triple H says... there's a few lines here. One that took me by surprise. It was, "Hey, look, there's Bam Bam Bigelow." Where the hell did that come from? Oh, I mean, I know the war's on and everything, but I guess that's nice that name drop someone who had issues with the click.
Unless it
back
was
in 95.
Oh, there you go. This is Triple H like getting out a few of his grievances,
to say the least. Yeah, because he was quite firmly in WCW at this point. I think the New Jersey Triad.
Canyon and Page were triading. Yeah.
And then they're like, "Oh, who wants? You know what? You can't work because the homeless. You can't work. You're worse than Jericho."
Oh Christ!
Yeah, that was a bit of a, on the context of TV characters, that made no sense whatsoever.
No, it's Triple H having a dig at somebody who is blonde and young and better than him at wrestling.
Yeah.
Wonder why. Mm. Tess had the same thing.
Damn Canadians and their lovely blonde
hair. Those damn young blonde wrestlers who want to get on in the business.
Triple H saw his push. I got to have it.
Oh, Christ. At this point, Matthew Gregg has opened up Undisputed. The Chris Second. Jericho autobiography, how to become the world champion in 1,372.
There's a bunch of stuff here. Just to go back before we get onto this, because there wasn't much to talk about with the Mr. Hughes push. So here we go. He has a big hair. Where we go.
I like it when Matthew sings as he's trying to find the place that he wants to talk about. He sounds a bit like Popeye.
Oh, God, Russo had a new plan for me. He decided that I needed a bodyguard, someone who could do my dirty work. What I didn't know, what I agreed the plan was that the guy they wanted to me would be Mr. Hughes. Curtis Hughes was a former football player, used to weigh 400 pounds, but at the time they put him with me, he was down about 250. I started calling him Curtis Huge, but Vince didn't like the moniker because he'd lost a ton of weight. I wasn't so huge anymore. Off topic. Yes. As a matter of fact, he was pretty much the same size as me, but Russo thought Hughes looked great and was hell-bent to put the two of us together. I didn't care for him from the start. He loved to talk S about how good he was. He constantly bragged about his sunglasses never came off during his matches. Like that was somehow the secret becoming the next Lou Tez. Combine the fact that Hughes, I didn't know this. Combine the fact that Hughes was also narcoleptic, in brackets. He could fall asleep at any time and once did in the ring mid-backdrop, in bracket. And he could see I had a real dandy of a bodyguard. Okay.
I often wonder if I'm narcoleptic.
What, listen to me read, you mean?
No. Just in general. I feel like, and I don't know whether it's because of years of doing breakfast radio, is that after I'd done a shift, literally, if I lay my head down anywhere, I'd be gone. Like, if I stopped moving, if the wheels stopped turning, I would go. Last night, was it the night before, we wanted to watch The Witcher. And I thought, I'm excited to watch The Witcher. Put it on, get a nice comfy bit on the sofa with the good lady. Literally 3 minutes in, I'm gone. And I'm opening my eyes as the credits are on. And she said, did you enjoy that? I said, I don't know what happened. I was fine. I wasn't bored by it. I was just like, okay, goodbye.
You're not narcoleptic. Old man. I was going to say, what's the nicer solution here? Is it that you're narcoleptic or you're getting old?
I think I'm getting old.
That's all right.
I'm getting old.
But you can cure... Oh, neither of them. Never mind. And carrying on with the Hughes bit, because we'll probably never mention him again. The Rock versus Jericho was on Raw. And ended up the match being very bad, apparently. I don't remember it at all. With Jericho ended up, he saw a cup on the floor, decided, aha, I'll throw that. It'll be Sprite. It wasn't. It was someone's tobacco dip cup. It says, after I gave Rock a worse facial than Eric Everhard ever could, I just wanted the match to end, and mercifully it soon did. Hughes slid a chair at the ring, but before I could see it, Rocky turned the tables and gave me his painted Rock Bottom on it. However, Hughes was tired and instead of sliding the chair in the ring with the smooth side up, Sleepy, as he calls him, slid the chair in upside down. So when Rocky slammed me into his raised metal edges, it almost killed me. But not as badly as the match itself did. This segues into him going asking Road Dogg, how was the match? And he goes, I saw your match and it sucked bagsky, which is, I don't know, carny for bad.
Wow. So, what was that then? Was that just a lack of chemistry between Rock and Jericho?
It was a mixture of that and... Jericho admits in his book that he, and a lot of WCW people had that when they went to WWF. It was perceived as a bad attitude because they were different, different attitudes and all that.
Yeah.
Jericho came in and insulted everybody. He said that, not to quote the whole book, but he insulted Undertaker and stuff. But he asked Undertaker, can I insult him? He goes, yeah, sure, go nuts. But the jokes were like, you're old, you're out of shape, you're about to go off, you know, because you're knackered. And it's like, oh, those are real things. And apparently he was going to have a promo with Austin. He says, like, one of the lines was like, you shaved your head bald because you drank so much you was losing it. And stuff like that. It's like, no, that's the wrong thing to say for anybody. It's true, there's nothing around it. And also, when you've just made your debut and no one really knows you. So apparently, like, Jericho had nuclear heat with everybody. And,
So what was he expected to do? Like, the kind of classic Triple H lines of, you can't hold my jock!
Yeah, if you're saying rubbish. Stuff that's too close to it and you're like, wait, we don't know you yet.
Yeah.
Your mates can call you a dickhead. But if a random guy down the street calls you a dickhead, you're like, whoa, who are you?
Yeah, that's a really good shout, actually. That's a really good shout.
So.
It's when you get, you know, other people are allowed to take the mick out of you, who you know, but not necessarily people who are very new.
Exactly. And we're getting the bit we're talking about here where this just hurts him more and more. And... I ended my feud with China with the best of intentions. I want to make her look good, like great in the ring, as I felt Vince was issuing me a challenge to see if I could have good matches with her. I also wanted to like China because of how she was booked and who her friends were. She had an ego and an attitude. There were times when she was really nice and fun to be around. She had a goofy sense of humor and would like to do things like stick to asparagus asparaguses, sorry, in the front of her mouth like fangs and talking funny voices.
Oh, for gods, that's the level of banter.
Life of the party. The office joker, China. But then the next day, she would act weird, not say a word to me. She was hard to read.
Schizo, why are you allergic to asparagus?
Schizo deluxe. After China had beaten Jarrett for the belt, I was told I was about to start an angle with her. Someone looked at me, who told me with compassion, said, good luck, you're going to need it. And
to which just China put asparagus in her mouth.
Yeah, and I was going to lose to a girl. Triple H was her chaperone. Decide what would and wouldn't work in the match. I was bound and determined to steal the show. And he did. I wanted to do everything I could to make that happen. I thought of a plethora, of that word, of false finishes, including a spot where we'd give each other a belly-to-belly suplex from the ring apron through the announce table. But the coup de grace was the idea I had for the finish. She was using Triple H's pedigree, so I wanted her to give it to me from the top rope. Triple H nixed the money ideas, but kept that.
Oh.
I think you maybe said that last week. Triple H and I didn't have much relationship at that point, although Simple Jack could figure out that he didn't really care for me. It's a good line.
What's Jack the Jobber got to do with all
this? Oh, don't say that. And apparently, though, he did say at one point, hey, here's my number. Call me if you need any help. So he did. And he says, hey, I'm in San Jose. I don't know how to get the venue. And the ex says, yeah, I do know how to get there. Get a map.
Oh, God.
And then, a few weeks later on Thanksgiving, here we go, finally get that bit. The ex did a bit where they went out on the streets to laugh at street people. Druid said, look at that guy. I bet he's a better worker than Jericho. Which isn't quite what he said, but... Now, and all of DX nodded their heads and guffawed at their leader's rapist's wit. Jesus.
Rapier.
No, it says rapist's wit here.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm quoting Jericho, I swear to Christ.
I'm sure he meant rapier.
Rapist's wit. I've not heard that line.
That's next week's Raw. Oh!
I confronted him about it later and he said with a smirk, yeah, I thought you'd find that funny. I didn't, but I understood the relevance of the comment. It was a direct shot at me, and once I realised I didn't do something to turn the tide, I'd be sent packing. Okay. And I think we'll do more of that around the turn of this old Matthew Reeds Jericho.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like it's a good audiobook.
Yeah, we'll obviously continue that because Jericho China feud will continue, along with the lovely Armageddon match.
Oh, get it.
But somewhere in the world of SmackDown, where the hell are we? Because I just put time to read the book with two exclamation marks there in case I forgot.
I don't know how I feel about that whole mindset of, like, belittling somebody like that, because the argument will always be, oh, we're trying to get the best out of you. Me personally, if somebody is treating me like an arse, you're not going to get the best out of me. That isn't going to, like, I'm not going to rise above to oh, I'm going to show you. I hate that attitude.
Well, that's
I
why people like it. You. And wrestling's obviously a lot of a completely different creature, and especially at a place where if you felt threatened by your position, and I mean, if you have job security, great. David Starr hasn't got wrestling a union yet, so maybe you won't be like that. But anyway, we'll have more fun with reading with Jericho.
reading with Jericho.
Let's not that get in the way of the recap of the history of the Steph test. The proposal. The bin.
Why didn't this make Bulldog a star?
The post-concussion syndrome.
Oh, I love this.
She got better, and this Monday, something happens. Hyped for that.
Is it a wedding?
It is.
Oh my God.
That's the thing. No need to listen to next week's podcast.
The thing is, like, Steph's story is littered with holes, where she says, I've got short-term memory loss, so I don't remember what I did last night. But then she goes on to say, I can't recognize Andrew's face. Well, that's long-term memory loss then, surely. Like, forget where you put your keys is short-term memory loss.
Well, no, Tom, because sometimes Tess would put two asparaguses up his
nose. Oh, that's... I don't recognise you!
Hey, Steph, which animal is this? He goes, oh, my God!
Part of me kind of wishes as well, watching this back, part of me kind of wishes that Steph had played silly buggers with it a bit. And in that promo she went, I would like it if it had gone, I don't remember what I did last night. And I don't remember what happened last night at all. I have short-term memory loss. And also, I don't remember what I did last night because I have short-term memory loss. The other problem is I have short-term memory loss.
There you go. God damn it,
Tom. I'd have loved it if she doubled down on that.
No, she has short-term memory loss. It's like, I don't recognize my husband anymore. When I met him, he was beating the hell out of the posse and being all cool. Now he sat down with his nose bleeding, losing to Super Mario 64 Penguin Race.
You like... Steph, how do I beat dry dogs? I don't know. I can't remember what I did yesterday. We'd like to apologise to at least one person who we made piss themselves after our long run joke of Test playing N64 games.
And that person was Test after he saw a boo in Mario Kart 64.
I don't want to play in battle mode, it's rubbish.
Except like, yeah, that's actually a good point. Many people said that about Mario Kart 64.
Listen to last week's episode to hear what we're talking about.
Anyway, Mankind and, wait, The Rock versus The Hollies.
Yeah.
And this gets clarified by Mick straight away. Well, he tries to, because he first of all spots a giant Socko at ringside.
That was very cool.
That was nice. Anyway, he explains that it's Thanksgiving. So he's saying, let's say, thanks to The Rock. Who Rock's basically said, hey, look, Mick, I read your book and I liked it. And here's the giving bit, because he's something Rock came up with, whatever. But yeah, the point is, they actually got, and they'll show clips of it later on, what happened between them, because it's going to be their last ever time teaming up. The Rock was getting sick of Mick, and then Mick got really upset that he threw his book in the bin. And Rock goes, no, I'm sorry, I was misunderstanding. It's like, Oh, that's nice, but they're patching together.
But it's taken him weeks to come. To come clean with it and say, oh, it was a misunderstanding.
Rock's been busy.
Yeah, it's
true. So many times you can no-sell all of Bossman's offense. And here comes The Rock, and he spots the pies that the pilgrims have put around the arena, just like in 18 Diggity Doo. But he has to wait for them to stop chanting Rocky to finish his spiel from a few weeks ago. But no shepherd's pie this time.
No, it's obviously it's on the back of his mind now. It's gone right to the back of his...
Bloody Yanks. But, and the settlers didn't bring that from England when they came to America? The essentials, the limes, and the shepherd's pie.
If anybody watches Jamestown, you'll know the settlers brought shepherd's pie and limes.
That's right.
And poontang pie.
Anyway.
Cole gets a ream in here as well.
He certainly does. Christ. You've never had pie, have you, Cole?
Never, is it true you've never had poontang pie? No, I haven't. Eats it. What do you think of it? Well, I think it doesn't matter. Yeah. This will fester in the brain of Michael Cole, who will become the worst heel in wrestling in many years.
That's right. Right now it's Kevin Kelly 2, and Rock goes, how is it, Cole? And he goes, well, it's almost as bad as Jericho's work rate. And Rock's like, I agree with you, Michael Cole, my new friend. And they high-fived and did a merry jig around the ring.
All the wrestlers come out onto the stage laughing.
Jericho sucks! Jericho!
Boo! He's trying hard at wrestling! Boo!
Living Jericho sucks. Jericho is a bad worker. He's going to And some nice continuity. Which is creeping in more and more with SmackDown. The last time these two teamed up, when Mick Foley abandoned The Rock after he was upset about the bad book review he got.
Mm-hmm.
And if he was bad about this one, it'd be even worse. We did that fiction book.
Scooter?
No, damn it. That would be a really good segue if I remember the name of the effing book.
He did two.
He did a fiction one. It was one before Scooter.
Hang on.
They weren't flattering. Well, they were like, it was all right.
Which one was that then?
Oh,
Titan Brown.
Is it Titan Brown?
Brown.
Okay.
Novel by Mick Foley.
Yeah.
Titan Brown was all right. It just felt a bit like Mick Foley was retreading his autobiography a bit in a fiction bit.
Yeah. They stick with what you know.
They do. I'm sure they do a bit in Titan Brown. The lead character Titan Brown doesn't have an ear, has an ear missing. So the teacher
and
says,
he wears a mask.
Teacher says, did you lose your ear? And Titan Brown says, why are you missing an ear? And Titan Brown says, well, I lost it, but I don't miss it. So it's like, it's a lot of it is retreads of bants.
I lost it when I was thrown off the famous cage match I had with zombie dead person. Anyway, they're team up together, and it's for the number one contendership for the tag titles. Makes sense. Between the Hollies, because they've held it this year twice. Kurt Del Snow watching backstage, unhappy about The Rock stealing his mate. Yeah, probably in there. And we cut just in time to see the Hardcore Holly dropkick on The Rock. And it has little effect because it's The Rock.
Exactly. It's not even a Holly dropkick. A mid-card Holly dropkick can affect The Rock. It's a bit like it's a bit like playing Dungeons and Dragons, and one of you is like a master wizard and the other is like a goblin. And sometimes a goblin can beat most things, but when you go, goblin does dropkick, oh, I'm a master wizard, don't even hurt, mate. Roll a one on this 20-sided die and it might do some damage.
Right.
Oh, it's 12. Bad luck.
Right, and the match is, there's nothing much to go over it because Mankind's haggard and Rock's like, I'm the Rock.
I'm just being the Rock.
So I'll comment on what's going on this episode, which it's very subtle. The commentators start hyping up the upcoming Gravy Bowl match. But Lawler puts extra emphasis on Gravy Bowler. And this, I popped big, and this is probably the only person who's doing so. This is an infamous outtake that was undiscovered for many years until good old Tri-Moon, RIP, put online as part of the Raw Off the Air series that WWE loved so much that they removed and put on DVD themselves years later. Where, you know, SmackDown being pre-taped, some of the over the I almost said tannoy, that's not right, is it? Over the PA system.
Over the PA.
Yeah, bit from, with Tony Chimmel would be done in post and added on later on. And it's Cole and Lawler just laughing at him going, because he keeps on going, for the women title, singular title, the Gravy Bowler match. And they're going, it's women's, do it again. And he goes, for the women title, the Gravy Bowler. And they go, and they're yelling at him, it's women's, plural.
What? Why
it's women's. And he's like, and he's going, what? What? He goes, women's with an S on the end. And, he goes, and then Lawler's like, yeah, and take out like 30 or 40 of those us. And then the dying laughing at him, the Gravy Bowler. The fact that they kept that on cut. Lola just very subtly, the upcoming Gravy Bowler.
Oh, that's cute. Why did Tony Chimmel forget that it was women's with a plural? I think, is he having an off day?
Yeah, we all have it.
Sometimes even the best can have an off day.
Exactly. And
Lord Chimmel.
Anyway, that's only interesting thing because The Rock gets the people's elbow hot tag, become the one contender.
So Rock and Sock are facing New Age Outlaws, or the Hardys, and Armageddon.
Ooh. More DX. They've got the bums in a room. I'm all lined up like they're about to take, shoot them. and they've got the turkey next to them. Lots of turkey, lots of piles of turkey, lots of green, lots of mint, whatever you eat at Thanksgiving. And they're just talking about how great the turkey is and basically getting them all riled up and going, ooh, what's your favorite bit? X Park. Mine's the pot roast. Like, haha, we got it. That's that segment.
So they're not, they brought them in with the. With the idea they're going to feed them Thanksgiving dinner.
That's right.
But they're not giving them the Thanksgiving dinner. And I don't think they will, because they are scumbags. They're all getting NXT tickets instead.
Then we are. The debut on SmackDown of Too Cool and Rikishi Fatu.
Whoa! This is exciting. This is a first-time appearance on SmackDown.
He had three squashes on Sunday Night Heat against Julio Fantastico, Crash Holly, and good old Tracy Smothers. And then showed up on Raw and got aligned with Too Cool almost straight away. I think they saved him from a beating and declared him to be their homie. Because I swear I remember seeing the episode on Raw, which I don't know how I saw Raw, but it must have been clips on Metal or something of like Rikishi like coming out to help them or somehow, and that's how it... But I didn't realize it was that quick.
Yeah, it happened dead quick.
I thought Rikishi was a dude, his own guy with a bit with Viscera. That must become later on, and then he went back to Too Cool.
It's he does a bit with Viscera, but whilst he's still part of Too Cool.
I swear I remember them teaming up.
Because the bit he does with Viscera is at Armageddon, by which point he is a part of Too Cool.
That's weird, though.
He's not there long. I remember him wrestling on Metal on his own, and then I remember him uniting with Too Cool. It would happen super fast.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know why we go to Viscera or whatever. But anyway, the point is, it's just because
they want like a super heavyweight team to face the Hollies in a super heavyweight match, basically. But this is the fourth time around the block for Salofa Fatu Jr. Mm-hmm. He debuted as a head shrinker from off the tag team The Head Shrinkers in the early 90s. Briefly in the mid-90s as Make a Difference Fatu. Kind of, how would you describe Make a Difference Fatu?
Asking me?
Yes.
Suddenly head shrinker.
I
know, I remember it, but I'm trying to remember how to describe it. Head shrinker Fatu suddenly learned how to speak English and dress like a human being, which was the biggest thing after me as a kid. And he just walked around going, I'm trying to make a difference to people on the streets, almost like Mustafa Ali's gimmick.
Yes.
Now,
a lot of people draw comparisons with Mustafa Ali and Make a Difference Fatu.
And sadly, they missed the trick by having this, you know, in the streets of wherever, like where there's drug abuse and there's kids and there's whatever, and he's going to help them out, rather than, you know, Hitchering a Fatu doing this, so I could be going to the jungles, the crazy jungle. No, don't boil that tourist alive.
Yeah. That'd have been brilliant.
No, don't do that. That's bad. Anyway,
Fatu disappeared, and then we had the Sultan in 1997.
Oh, quick, bring back the other guy.
Yeah, this was the like they desperately want to make something work for Solo Fofatu Jr.
Yeah.
And this is the fourth roll of the dice. He, after the Sultan thing pretty much fell on its ass, he went to go train at the Funkin' Dojo in 1998. Where he would just, he went, do you know what? I think after all this time, I should probably get this wrestling malarkey right.
That's so weird. That's what he did between runs. Because having done his last appearance as the Sultan was December 97, losing to Mark Henry on Shock on Saturday night. But then, like, he went back and did more training.
Yeah, he went back to the dojo.
Where?
Funk's Funkin' Dojo?
He was in the Samoan squad team in, like, NWA in 89. Like, what? Why?
Whether he was going back as a senior consultant or whatever, I didn't know.
Wow.
The name, Rikishi Fatu, Rikishi is the Japanese term for a sumo wrestler.
It's a class. Accolade, a title.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yokozuna's number one, Rikishi number two.
It was done in homage of Rodney Anoa'i Yokozuna as well. And obviously with Rikishi Fatu, they dropped the Fatu bit almost immediately. And away we go. Per Vince McMahon's request and Fatu's own willingness to honour his sumo tradition, nothing was worn underneath the thong and his bum was completely exposed. This was unlike Yokozuna, who wore tights underneath his sumo thong, which both Vince McMahon and Fatu felt was unnecessary for the Yokozuna character.
I was going to say...
So Vince McMahon was keen, like, let's think on Yoko at his biggest, right? Oof. Are we there? Vince wanted that bare to the world.
He was thinking of all the companies that want to advertise on his ass.
So there you go. That's the Rikishi Fatu. So
not only
Fatu
that,
Junior's
just to expand that lovely point, well researched, Tom. Bruce Pritchard said on Zooming to Wrestle With that he felt that the Yokozuna character would have gotten over so much more if he'd had his ass out. The man who headlined two WrestleManias and
wrestling
pinned Hulk Hogan on pay-per-view.
Wrestling is weird. Well, we could have done more with him if he agreed to have his ass out.
That was it. That was the one thing that got Yogo over the
Wrestling's
edge.
Wrestling's mental. So what they wanted was dancing back that ass up Yokozuna.
No, they just wanted ass.
They just wanted his
a
bum out.
A giant ass and just Christ. The buy rates would just go through the roof.
Christ. Wrestling.
Anyway.
So Rikishi in action against Joey Abs.
That's right. They've left the Bulldog.
Yeah,
oh,
sad.
No,
it's a bit like Jeffree Star and thingy splitting up. It's broken my heart.
Where did that come from, Tom? Wow,
It's a breakup for the decades.
There's been enough racism on this podcast. Oh, where?
Poor Jeffree Star.
Oh, God. Anyway, Joey Abs gets annihilated here. It's an embryonic moment. I noticed because we get all the offense Rikishi would keep, just the super kicks. The sit-out pile driver, amazing. Also, afterwards, he decides to give him an earthquake stomp. Which I'm like, I don't remember me doing that. And he quite clearly comes like, ah, me leg. I'm not doing that one, lads.
I'm going to leave that one be, I think.
But yeah, the idea is he comes out. Not much reaction from him.
Yeah,
they are emphasizing
really
the hell out of his ass. But then they dance for the first time on SmackDown. And the crowd's like, okay, yeah, that's all right. Get the worm as well. Yeah, that's going to be amazing later on.
Yeah.
6 months' time, that's going to be like the highlight of the show for many people.
So, this is very early stages of that, isn't it?
We're getting there, bit by bit. Anyway, DX are backstage, teasing the bum some more.
talking of teasing the ass.
There we go.
Here's some bum teasing.
And back from adverts, more bum teasing. God.
Which is what Bruce Pritchard wanted.
Apparently. God. Obama eventually asks, can we have some silverware? Triple H gets mad at this request and makes him leave without food. Later on, they kick a bunch of kids in the face and then say the US military has too much presence in other countries. what more are they going to do with this? The baddies, DX.
It's Triple H's agreed upon 37 segments in one night.
Yeah.
Can we not do anything with more with the champion? No, we haven't got time. Okay. Do you want to maybe try? I know we've struggled this year. Maybe develop some new... No, we've got to get all these Triple H segments in. We need every single one. I mean, we could do this in three as opposed to 12. Nah, we need them all. The nuance of the sketch
the nuance.
Requires constant reminder. When Triple H isn't on screen, we want people saying, where's Triple H?
Yeah. In fairness, though, Triple H did agree to cut out the bit where they tie a damsel in distress to some train tracks. Time for
only because it was Jericho's idea.
Can you... Now, time for the... Say it with me. Gravy-a-bola.
Gravy. Or maybe he knew something we didn't and it was infected by some sort of weird foreign substance. The gravy Ebola match.
Oh, God. Oh, I just got that. Thank you. Anyway, there's a huge swimming pool filled with gravy by the entrance ramp. So it must be time for a women's match between good old Ivory
and Jackie.
And Jackie. They were almost forgot. I almost didn't write it down because I've just written down some stuff happens.
Yeah, Ivory kicks her shoes and socks off and gets into the gravy. Jacqueline walks out and does like a big breath, like she's about to headline Mania, which I appreciated. Like she's like, whew. Like, and it's
finally
it's so misplaced because not only is this a really demeaning gravy ball match, but it's non-title. Like Jacqueline didn't even get the belt if she wins this. But she's there like, oh, here we go. Unless she's allergic to gravy.
Venus gets a European tag title. Whatever title match. And
Andre.
Yeah.
Ted DiBiase, I won for you the WWWWF Tag Team Championships. You buy them from me now. You need sleep. Have some warm milk to help you sleep.
There's famous Jamaican wrestler Andre the Giant.
Kofi the Giant.
Hulk Hogan, you bumble clot.
I'm just picturing Andre with dreadlocks.
Some stuff happens, as I said before. Jackie wins a trophy.
Yeah!
The prestigious Thanksgiving gravy you were both.
She wins by DDT into the gravy.
I think it was an X Factor.
She does an X Factor, then she does the DDT, I'm sure.
Oh. Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, you're
whatever.
Right, Tom. Whatever.
Let's argue over this.
Yeah, please tweet it. No, you got the gravy bowl finished wrong.
If you do, I'm blocking you.
She should have thrown some mashed potato at her. Anyway, Ivory attacks Kitty.
Who was the referee in this?
Oh, yeah, don't know that. Details
mate,
being left
we need
out.
We need to really drill down the details on this.
Oh, the important bit is after the match. So Ivory attacks Miss Kitty for some reason, and to the point where she can't breathe, Cole speculates possibly she's got some of those giblets down her throat. So BB shows up, you know, that definitely qualified woman. She gets thrown in and her top ripped off. And as the camera zooms in on the giant tits and Lola going, Yahoo! Like Super Mario, Cole goes, how embarrassing for that young lady. That number for the PTC again. 0800-888-TITS-FOR-KIDS.
What I like is they have that. So Ivory just drags BB into the thing, rips off her top, jukes her into the gravy. And then once the segment ends, as they're still talking, you watch them both just get out of the gravy. No animosity. Like they're both getting out of a swimming pool. Like, so I thought maybe they'd made friends halfway through. Like they both just get out of the gravy. Spot done. Demoralization achieved. Let's go get showered off and go and drink whiskey until 3 a.m. and count our money.
The Godfather is here, so... Put that phone down from the Navy dude to shout with your 10-year-old kid, light a fatty for the big pimp daddy. He's taking on Al Snow, proud feminist.
The PCC did nothing wrong.
Yeah. Freedom of speech. Right. No, that's not the argument, sir.
Al Brent Bozell did nothing wrong. He's the hero of this piece.
Mad Al takes a leg drop. From the Godfather, that's kind of like D'Lo's, but not quite. Then goes for a chair, tries to hit Godfather with it, misses, and in theory it bounces off. But that works on the ropes because they're springy.
Yeah.
He does it on the turnbuckle pad, which absorbs all the impact, and so they have to cut to a different camera. As also, but he goes, oh, hits himself. Allowing Godfather to hit the whole train and roll him up, and send Al to test tier. And then we get a very brief bit of the PTC fan. Or is it? Because we can't tell if it's Champ Kind or not, because his face is kind of hidden. It's kind of bald. And he has the worldwide filth sign as Godfather dances with his hose.
He's got a point. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what you're meant to be telling us here. Like, WWF is filthy and evil. A sign held up whilst a literal wrestling pimp dances with his literal wrestling prostitutes. Yeah. What are you... Are you telling us this is wrong? Are you telling us that there isn't a salient point being made here? Because it looks like a very salient point is being made here.
And, you know, the trafficker of women is flabbergasted that anyone would think this was unsuitable for kids.
Oh, my God, here's that guy again telling us it's wrong to watch whatever we want to watch as a literal pimp is in the ring.
I also remember, like, listening to the Swimming Wrestling With podcast. I talked about the Walmart thing with Al Snow in his head. And Pritchard was very like, it's just somebody trying to get some attention for themselves. Because if you watch the show, it's clearly a model head and all that. So, yeah, but if you're walking through a toy aisle, you don't watch wrestling because you're an adult and you probably should grow out of this, to be honest with you. And you see a guy with what looks like a severed, decapitated woman's head.
Yeah.
It's got healthy written on it. You're like, for kids.
Context.
You kind of see where they're coming from.
Context is key.
I liked wrestling back then because it was clearly intended for a higher audience, but I was watching it. That's the appeal of it.
It's like South Park.
But will I let my kids watch this? Lord, no.
Absolutely not.
But I watched it. I loved it.
But your kids will sneak down and watch it.
Yeah.
They will. That's as we all did.
Exactly. But if I tell my kids, hey, watch wrestling, they go, no. No, you dweeb. Anyway, one of the highlights of the show coming up, though, in a serious manner. New Age Outlaws versus the Hardys in a cage match. Not sure why it's in a cage. Oh, yeah, because Vince hates DX, right? It's for the tag team titles. Pops for both of them. It's nice. Also, Tit is at ringside. That should be great help in this. And this is loaded with action.
Yeah. This is the bit that stood out to me. Road Dogg busting out a moonsault.
It's weird that I remember this because it was like a shooting interview ages ago. And they were talking about, what do you think about the Hardys? He goes, oh, great. We had that cage match with them. And I did one of two moonsaults I've ever done in my career against them. And the fact that I remember that, I was like, Road Dogg does a moonsault off the top, bro. Watched it. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? It looks good.
And this is nice. For some reason, they're working really hard here. The New Age Outlaws are wrestling a Hardy Boys match.
Yeah.
Wrestling a New Age Outlaws match. So I think it's maybe 5 minutes long, but it's just insanity. Billy Gunn catches them on a whisper in the wind and just dunks them, which is great. And then immediately Road Dogg does a moonsault. And Gunn tries climbing, but Road Dogg gets whipped into him. And there's some double teams galore from the Hardys. The margin looked like they might get a win. Matt looks to escape, but goes, sod it. There's a moonsault off the top of the cage. Holy poop chant, quite right from the crowd. The ref gets bumped in the process, because whatever, referees. So Jeff takes an insane bump where Billy Gunn backdrops him, and Jeff just scales the cage and just lands off the top of the cage to the outside. Like, he just does a swanton, basically, to the outside, with nothing to catch him.
To nothing.
I think Terry was going to be there to catch him. Just bounces off the boobs and goes back in the ring.
Grab tenaciously to my buttocks!
And it's like, new champs. Yeah, no. X-Walk runs in and sends Jeff back in and helps Billy Gunn escape to retain. Wow. What the hell was this?
It's like a shot of adrenaline, that was. It was great. It was, and you say, it was Road Dogg and Billy Gunn very motivated.
Yeah.
Rejuvenated, wrestling a Hardy Boy star match.
The Percocet was flowing like water that night. And,
this was great.
THQ's WrestleMania 2000 presents the Slam of the Week. It's Vince in a car.
No way. We haven't seen Vince for ages on this show.
Right. That was the Slam of the Week. Technically, he can still do that tonight because they're not in the car.
Yeah. If you wanted to, if you watch that, you go, I'm going to smash that car up again.
We'd be like, yeah, you smashed my car up.
Have they ever had it where a wrestler has had their car trashed and they've driven to the next show in the same trashed car?
Well, like Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Yeah, so the car's like falling apart as they're pulling into the venue.
Yeah, he's like, the cop stopped him over and goes, what are you driving? Some issues there, but yeah, you got to bust the taillight, the window's out, it's barely moving. He goes, yeah. But the radio still works. Sorry.
That must have happened.
It's a great film.
If Sting can get covered in blood on a Monday and turn up to Thunder on a Thursday, still covered in blood, wrestling at its heyday.
There was that. Well, speaking of Sting, didn't he have that thing? Was it Mark Merrow? Or Johnny B. Badd, I think, where he's like, Sting had car trouble, so didn't show up for his match. And it's like, oh, I'll take it. And then Jeremy Bobby plays it. I think he wins the TV title or something. So Jeremy Bobby's like, ah, oh, I mean, it's feel really bad that like Sting had four punctured wheels. I mean, that's really bad. And Sting's like, I didn't tell you how many punctured wheels I had. It was you.
That was great. I like that. That was great.
Anyway, that was the Slam of the Week. Talk about Johnny B. Badd in 95. Anyway, the main event.
Oh, here we go.
Good luck following that match, lads. Triple H and X-Pac versus Shane and Test. And MechWarrior 3 proudly sponsors Armageddon. Who'd have thought a bloated, expensive gimmick that wasn't ready to be released would be sponsoring a Test match? That was a very forced segue. I do apologize.
We'd like to thank MechWarrior 3 for sticking around sponsoring WWF.
The 0.4 of a person that got out will really appreciate it.
That you will soon have very good company for your loyalty, MechWarrior 3, once this RC Cola money comes in to replace Coca-Cola. Yeah.
Thank you, MechWarrior 3. There will not be a MechWarrior 4.
Test and Shane teaming up.
Oh, no, wait. Before we get to that, the match is taking place, just as it starts, breaking news backstage. Good guy Vince has tricked DX and has let the bums in, and they're eating food after all. You know, God bless us, everyone.
God bless Vince McMahon.
He's like Scrooge at the end of Christmas Carol or whatever. He's like, oh.
That'll show you. I let the bums. Vince wouldn't care.
Sorry. I don't know why I've typed this. I was clearly not in a good mood at this point after seeing the 18th segment with the bums, who've got more of a push than Jericho in this show. At this point, who gives a crap? Have Viscera have sex with them? And it's in capital letters as well. I'm clearly sick of my life. Like, oh, God, another bit.
Yeah. Go backstage and, wait, what's Viscera doing? Now, Viscera. So, let's break this segment down that you pitched. So, Viscera. Is Viscera just bursting in?
Like the Kool-Aid man.
And he's like,
did someone say bum? It's going to suck is 2 weeks later this is going to come out. And people are going to go, hey, I like that bit where you talk about Viscera having sex with homeless people. I go, what are you on about, you creep? Get away from me.
It's somebody saying
I'm like, oh, wait, I said that.
Please say bum.
That's why I said, hey, listen to Tom Campbell's podcast about SmackDown. Oh. Don't mention I'm in it.
Yeah, you know, that was your life. So, okay, would they have cut backstage and he was mid-process, like with eating a turkey leg at the same time? Or would it be like him bursting in saying, did somebody say bum?
Defeating him like one of those Greek emperors where it's like sort of grapes in the vine, it's just turkey.
Or they go backstage and they're worshipping him like a Greek god.
Viscera. I thought you were dead. No, just stiff.
I've never been more alive.
That number is 0800.
Found a home inside a homeless.
888. WF is for kids. That's it. Ring the Navy. Ring him up at like 1 a.m. to tell him how much you think this is appropriate for kids. And Photoshop John, don't do anything about this part. How about you take a day off? Go outside.
Isn't that covered at you?
Did somebody say bum?
Things that go bum in the night.
Viscera. Number 1 through 5, Viscera.
Oh, God. No, stop showing me gifts of Viscera on your phone. Shane McMahon plays the role of Road Dogg in this match and gets the hot tag to Test. And the crowd pops for him. Good God. I'm just desperate to leave at this point. Pump handle slam on Triple H. Whoa. Then the New Age Outlaws run out and beat up everyone. And let's see if you got this right. One of those like teasers they do on TV shows back in the day. The question before the break and afterwards, see if you got it right. Let's see if you guess what the... That's right. Triple H pins Test.
Of course he does. Blonde, talented young man who's got a potential future. Let's just nip that in the bud straight away. Test, right.
Where's Christian?
After...
Let me add him.
Test looked great in the brief bits he was in this. Like the house of fire that Test pulled out was amazing. Lighting up everybody. That spinning fall away slam on Triple H. I'm turning to JR.
Yeah, JR.
I'm not going to say his name. It's on the graphics. That spinning sidewalk slam that he did, that spinning side slam was phenomenal. Big boot. He just looked great in that little burst. That's the Test that I wanted decking DX last week, rather than sat there going, Steph, I can't get past this level on Tiger Woods.
It should have come to the ring so that the jockstrap that Rage gave them, it should have like duct taped an N64 to his head, and then Triple H is like, bam, and it absolutely has no effect on him. And Triple H goes, wow, nothing beats the N64.
Just strapping bits of N64 to him. Something that Brian Cage would watch and in many years to come go, actually, that's a great idea for a gimmick. Yeah.
Triple H is like, it's like the games master. He's like, kids, if WrestleMania 2000 is too hard for you, put on easy mode and all the opponents turn into Jericho. Anyway, luckily for us, as DX beaten Test up and breaking his nose for the third time that week, all of Test's friends come out to say, oh, wait, yeah, no one comes out to save him.
Absolutely nobody.
Until Vince McMahon at the entrance ramp. Oh, that counts as 50 feet.
Yes.
According to Billy Gunn, he might have to be in a different state.
Yeah.
That's a fit. So instead, he sends all of the wrestlers out the back of DX. And it's great because like Kane comes out, and then like Rock comes out, Mankind comes out. And then the Acolytes come out, and then the Hollies come out, and then more and more wrestlers. And the crowd just gets louder and louder when more and more and more wrestlers come out and convinces us, get him, get him, get him. And it's an amazing way to end the show. It's just like, yay, this is all coming out. I'm a big old brawl.
They didn't have to dodge a bullet, though, because like the whole thing was, like, Vince couldn't get in the ring to stop DX from attacking Shane McMahon. Shane gets a pedigree in the ring. Vince can't get in. So Vince's plan A was to peg it down to the ring and batter them. Okay, plan B. Empty the locker room. And that should have been your plan A. But also,
Triple H is like, wait, that was like the worst idea in the world. If I didn't have the straight in order, it would have just been him.
Yeah, exactly. Triple H hits the pedigree on Shane McMahon. The crowd start chanting Austin.
It was hoist by his own leotard.
Hey. Sorry. The crowd start chanting Austin. And obviously Austin.
I mean, this is clearly
Austin
like
ain't
this
coming
guy's,
out.
No.
So he, okay, so we haven't got Austin. So
no mention of him, by the way, on this show.
No, they have to. They now have to stop, I think, because if they mention him, they put him on the screen.
Yeah.
It gets people's dander up.
Yeah.
So they can't. So Vince's option is instead of Austin, here's the entire locker room. To do a curtain call.
And crowd like yeah. But then DX go, okay, might need to abandon ship here. So they all start brawling amongst each other, and then they spot, there's the turkey. This is a separate turkey to the bum turkey, which is backstage, somewhere warm.
It's with Viscera, who is also a bum turkey.
When you could see the grin on Tom's face now, I was like, no. If you say it quickly, maybe you won't notice.
I noticed.
And crowd losing their minds as Crash Holly sells a turkey to the head, and then... this is a crowd just going nuts. Nuts here. And the show finally ends with Mae Young pie-facing Lawler. Wah, wah, wah.
What I like is in that that last bit, Foo Fight's kicking off everywhere. Lawler stands up, turns around, gets pie-faced. And then just to the side, and I like little technical stuff like this, you see a production assistant counting them down for the end of the show.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
You see a guy like with like sticking out the number 4 hand gesture, then 3. And then you hear Michael Cole go, Happy Thanksgiving, I think. They go, that's his closing line. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that little stuff like that as the show ends.
Well, that was a great ending to a weird, eclectic episode of SmackDown.
An eclectic episode of SmackDown.
Let's do the fun recap we always enjoy. Tom, what did you remember about the show?
For this one, I remember the debut of Rikishi. Mm-hmm. I remember Rikishi turning up for the very first time and thinking, he looks fun, he looks cool, and now he's dancing. Like that a lot.
Yeah.
What do you remember?
I remember you.
Well, you remember me. Don't let times pass you by.
I was doing a different song, but that's okay. The Mankind, Al Snow, The Rock, Love Triangle.
Oh, yes, that's a good shout.
Because that was another thing featured in the magazines at this point. Because, you know, read like the male soap opera were keen to stress, and that's why it's actually very enjoyable talking about these shows, because we say we're going to cover every SmackDown. Lord, no, we talk about like 2019 SmackDown.
You know.
Being a minute. Baron Corbin, dog food, tying up, whatever.
Christ, that's for us to worry about in many years
to
come.
Exactly. But what did you forget or reminded about by watching this show?
I forgot Viscera bumming the homeless. Viscera's care in the community.
That's only on the network version.
Community. I forgot China braining Jericho with a hammer. Really unnecessarily aggressive. And was sold the same way you'd sold a thumb in the eye, which is bizarre. What did you forget?
Oh, the Hardys, New Age Outlaws cage match. Mm. That's nuts. It's a shame that it's just literally a match on SmackDown. But had there been more hype for it or whatever, or we'd had this as a Survivor Series, wow.
Very throwaway, but it was still really good fun.
Yeah, they packed a lot of stuff there. So.
Yeah, they really did. They really did. Next week will presumably be the fallout from the wedding. There's a wedding on Monday. Test and Stephanie McMahon are getting married.
Oh, that's nice.
Linda McMahon, we found out during this show, has paid for a bachelorette party to Las Vegas.
Oh, how
she was
nice.
In on it. What could possibly go wrong with the wedding next week?
Mick Foley with like the pile of quarters looking for that. But all that and more, and thank you very much for tweeting at us when when's the podcast up? Because that's when you know that people actually give a damn. Like, where is it, you idiot?
Yeah, it's quite nice that people have missed it. So it's nice. We're back now for the new year. We're rocking and or rolling. Myself and Matthew are back on this podcast feed. Well, you're back on Friday for the Cultaholic podcast. And all the usual
the normal one,
fun
where,
and games that come
where
from that.
I try and have the same chemistry with Jack and Ross, and it just doesn't work. Because I am Al Snow, and they're the Rock of Mankind.
What am I then, Stevie Richards?
Your head.
I'm fine to be head. And then on Saturday, you will hear a special Cultaholic watch-along once again on the Cultaholic Classic Raw review. Myself and Justin Henry are watching every episode of Raw. We're a few years behind. We're in 1994. And we have reached the 1994 King of the Ring. How much does this guy weigh? We've got Matthew to join us on the show this week. So on Saturday, you will be treated to myself, Matthew Gregg, and Justin Henry from Off of America watching King of the Ring 1994.
Yeah, so if you love talking bollocks, that's what it's going to be.
You've got a three-hour one dropping.
I love Justin Henry.
On Saturday, he's a boy. He's an absolute boy. So we'll speak to you then. Until then, he is at Matthew Gregg.
And he's at Tom Campbell.
And I'm in Botchamania this week. Yes, hey. Mate! Yes, mate! And he's in my heart all the time.
Bless
love
you, mate.
You, bye! Love you, bye! Viscera shags the homeless.
That didn't happen.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.